Good afternoon, St. Louis. DJS on KMOX. You guys ever think, I've said this before, but you ever think like this? I don't think Freddie Mercury could have been a serial killer and been like, it's okay, you did Bohemian Rhapsody. But like, when you think about the contributions that just an average human makes to society, like musicians, like that one guitar riff, that's my favorite Queen song, by the way, that one guitar riff, one chord that Brian May plays in there, to me, justified his whole life. You know what I mean? It's like it reached so many people. It affected so many people. You feel what I'm saying?
So if you found out that he was a serial killer, your question would be, well, who did he kill?
I need more details.
Who was it? Who died?
It just sometimes I don't know. Like, I'm just so impressed by the contribution that individuals make.
So, okay, this is dark and gross, but is that, do you think the subconsciously...
Welcome back, Amy.
I know. Thank you. Is that subconsciously why we all still listen to Michael Jackson? You know what I mean? Shouldn't we be like, well, this guy, like, I'll never listen to one of his songs again. And yet somehow...
I think a lot of people do that, though. I think a lot of people don't listen to Michael Jackson.
Do you?
But it's still everywhere. It's unavoidable.
It's everywhere.
It's not like,
yeah.
It's not like you have to listen in your home privately and not be judged by anybody. It's everywhere. It's still on the radio.
I feel like
when you're out, it still gets played at places when you're out.
Right.
Nobody's canceled him.
It's true.
Yeah. And when you stop and talk about it, like, you feel awful. You're like, we should not play his music. Like, well, we didn't know at the time. Like, well, didn't we?
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's weird that somehow, like, okay, well, that's okay to keep listening to his music.
And I shouldn't have started with, he could be a serial killer. That took it in a direction I didn't mean to. But, like, we're talking about Tim Robinson from I Think You Should Leave.
Yeah.
He could stop right now. Never do a never lift a single thing the rest of his life.
Yeah.
And he's good.
I think about him all the time but I think about him when he does the first thing that people are like, that's not very good. Like, how much that's going to suck.
Yeah.
And part of me wants him to I want him to stop, sort of, because I don't want it to get
it's
to that
so
point.
Perfect.
It's perfect right now.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, I want him to keep going because I do want to see what's next, but I do sort of dread when he does that very first project or the very next season
Doesn't
of I Think You Should Leave and it stinks.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, too bad. And people are going
to
jump on it.
Every band's done that to their biggest fans, you know, like, I wish Foo Fighters would have stopped with this one, you know?
Yeah, exactly. However, the movie that is, I don't think it's out yet, but it's coming out with Paul Rudd. Is it Paul Rudd?
Andrew? Right. I think I know what you're talking about.
The people who have seen it.
Yeah.
People who have seen it say it's really good.
Yeah.
So that's good. I like to hear that.
Yeah. I'm whatever left brain or right brain the creative side is, I'm so that and so none of the other side. That, like, someone could be a great CEO and make hundreds of millions for their company. I couldn't care less. Doesn't impress me. It impresses me. Like, you can do something I can't do. That always impresses me. But I don't value it.
I know what you mean.
But someone writes a great song or does a great comedy, and I'm like, you're a god.
Well, yeah, because they're creating something that you can relate to and enjoy, whereas a CEO is just making money for their stockholders. I'm interested in, like, these big artists that I don't like at all and thinking that other people feel that. Like, for example, like Pink. Not to pick on her, but she's never done anything that I've enjoyed. But she's like a megastar, and people are like, the contribution she's made to society, and I'm over here
it's
like...
That's a good point.
No.
That's a good point.
I do like that Rockstar song, though.
I don't like any of
that one. That one bangs.
You do not like that one.
Yeah, I do, actually.
You're not being sarcastic.
No, I'm serious. I think that one... That one.
I don't know much of the Pink catalog.
That's the only one I can think of.
Okay, what about...
But that one cooks.
What about the guy that invented rolling luggage? Like, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we all make our contributions.
Do you know? I wish I were that guy.
In terms of music, I'm really thinking about Jack White and Seven Nation Army, and that one, which that riff, which is pervasive now because they sing it in stadiums everywhere, right? And the documentary he's in with The Edge and Jimmy Page.
It's it's going to get loud.
It might get loud. And he's talking about how he came up with that, and he played it for his friend, and his friend's like, I don't know. And he's like, no, really, I think this is good. And he was defensive of it.
Yeah.
And then he made a song out of it, and obviously it's an anthem now.
Yeah.
But if that was the only thing he ever did.
Yeah.
Or I don't think it's that bad to be a one-hit wonder, honestly.
Or if he would have listened to his friend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what if he said, well, maybe it's not very good. Yeah. Okay, well, I guess we'll scrap that one.
When I was about a second-year lawyer, so it would have been about 1992, I was at a big firm, and my best friend there is a guy named Steve, and he was one of my funny friends. You know what I mean? Like, in your life, you might get five really funny friends, like comedy partners. Mm-hmm. And he was my comedy partner there. And I hated being a lawyer, and I got a wild hair. And I told him, I said, I think I'm going to move to Chicago, and I'm going to try to get in with like the Groundlings or Second City. And just, I'm 27, 28. If I'm ever going to pursue this, I need to pursue it. And he shut the door, and he was like, Dave, you know, I love you. You know, I think you're really funny and creative, but that's never going to happen. You went to law school. You should be a lawyer. But if you're not, use that personality of yours to like sell insurance. And it was just like a big giant deflation, like a big womp, womp, womp. And then I saw him several years later after the success of the show, and he was laughing and apologizing and, oh, I couldn't have been more wrong. And I told him, you were absolutely right. Like, I just got really lucky with the show. And I really did. That was good advice. Like, when you go to law school and then after a couple of years, you want to go be in the Groundlings, it's good advice to not do it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Except the other end of it is there's always going to be a nagging probably that you didn't give it a shot.
Yeah.
Whatever the thing is that you love.
Yeah.
That you didn't try at least. Because maybe if you had become an attorney, you could be really successful and, you know, still have a great life and all of that. But there's always going to be a part of you that's like, man, I wish I would have tried.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that, that if you have a fire in your belly, you need to at least figure out what that is.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know?
And maybe the fire dissipates on its own.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Or maybe it nags you for the rest of your life.
Yeah, that's true. I have another compliment for another person, and she's in this room. Rach is coming up on 1 year of having the Rachel Zimmerman show, and she is going to do a clip show. And so I've been listening to her clips in the office, and you don't get enough credit.
Oh, thanks, Dave. That's really nice.
It's really good.
Thanks.
Like, a bunch of times while we were listening, you asked someone a question. I'm like, that's a really good question. That's a really insightful, well-formed question.
Well, thank you. And thank you to the three of you for all coming on the show.
Yeah.
It has contributed a lot over the past.
You should be proud.
Year, so. Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
I liked being on with you.
Thanks, Ron.
Because you're asking questions like, why would anybody care about me? Like that, but you did it. Yeah, I don't know. It was just you did it in a really nice way.
Oh, thanks, Ron. That's nice.
It is. No, I don't. Nobody cares about me.
I think we're having a moment.
Yeah, I think so.
I feel like the Ronji's like, the
why would anyone care?
I think she would accept his cheesecake now.
You know what? I take that compliment back. I had forgotten about the cheesecake, Dave. Thank you.
As soon as he forgets, we all bring
your
it
friendship
back
is deep.
Forget it.
Funny. What else? What else? A couple of housekeeping things. Oh, so. Try to be as philanthropic as I can, and my family and the show, because when you have a platform like this, you need to use it for good as much as possible, and trying to pass that on to my kids. And to that end, Phoebe Glover, who is at the Tri-Delt house in KU, they're having a one-day fundraiser for St. Jude Kids with Cancer.
Awesome.
And so we put it on Facebook.
Yep.
And it's just a very simple click through. I went in, I hit the same button that you, if you decide to give a few bucks, the same button that you hit. And it was really easy. I put it on my PayPal on behalf of the Glover family. And so, but here's the thing. I'm always going to be asking you for money. And I'm going to be asking you for $2,500 coming up next month because I'm an ambassador for Men Wear Pink for Cancer Society. Then we have Operation Food Search for the holiday season. So I don't want to burn you out or ask too much. But yeah, so if cancer has affected you, or just to support the show or Phoebe, go to Facebook, click on it, give a few bucks, put you from the DGS if you want, because she'll see it. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. Big show today. Pardon me. We have Ricky Horton coming up. We have Think Tank, Jared Young, who we kind of introduced St. Louis to, who's going against Hawley. And Lucas Kuntz is going to be on Think Tank with Braxton Payne. So that should be interesting. He was in the debate between Kuntz and Hawley. So we'll get to hear all about that. That'll be good. One more shout out before we kind of get the show going. I had my second to last No One Dies Alone training this morning, and I was with two other new volunteers, Linda and Geraldine, and they're both from the show.
That's awesome.
Isn't that great?
Oh, nice. Wow, yeah.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like really cool.
The day we had them on, they heard it and they touched their heart, and
wow.
they're volunteering.
Wow.
You got one more to go.
After... I have one more to go.
All right.
Before, okay, and then is your first go round, is someone there to hold
yes.
your hand through it? Okay,
yes.
So you're not on your... they don't just say, okay, there
right.
you go. Okay.
Yes, thank God.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was going to make that happen even if that wasn't the way they did it.
Right,
I was going to finagle a way that I'm not by myself.
Yeah.
No, the first one you do with a veteran who's done it many, many times. And I'm sure that if you were still not comfortable, you could do as many of those as you want.
Sure.
But yeah, my next meeting should be, it'll be next week. Mm-hmm. And then like they took the picture for my badge and everything. Like every step I take towards doing this, I'm like, hold on a minute.
Yep.
Hold on. I might want to get out of this.
You're really in it now.
They're making me a badge.
Yeah. Oh, once they make the badge, you have to do it.
What are you going
to
do?
Yeah.
Turn the badge in? So
it's like the nuns when they're in the, like, not fully a nun outfit yet, but then
there
when
you go.
They get the habit.
There you go.
That's what I feel like. You're in that, like, middle stage nun outfit.
Yes.
So when do they, when you do it by yourself for the first time, do they, I mean, it's kind of tough to give notice on something like that, right?
What do you mean?
Like, I mean, so do you go in when they know it's hours or?
Yeah, they, so it's days, like there's
okay.
impending.
So they'll just have somebody there all the time.
Yeah, what they do is, you know, the hospice nurses will talk to the family. And like with my mom, it's a perfect example. They came to us on like a Wednesday and said, we think your mom has between 1 and 3 days. And okay. And so you kind of make peace with that. And then I don't remember this. I don't, but they had to have said, we have this program, these volunteers called No One Dies Alone, NODA, and you guys can go home and get rest and they'll stay here all night. And what I remember is like, that's not possible. Like who would do that?
Mm-hmm.
Who's coming in at from two to four in the morning to sit with someone they don't know. And it just blew me away. But yeah, it's typically when there's just a few days left. But one thing we learned about today, and I really talked to the doctor about this, that the main thing I wanted to know is the main thing everyone wants to know. How much time? And I was asking them like they knew and weren't supposed to tell me. I'm like, you can tell me. Is it today? Do you think it's today? But it's so difficult. You know, like the doctor was saying many times, she would have guessed wrong. Like, I thought it was this hour, and they went on two more days.
Yeah.
So the longest, I think they said, it was a five-day vigil. So they're pretty good at kind of nailing it down to between hours and a couple of days.
And they have enough volunteers that can...
About 50. There's a team of about 50 people.
Right.
And so the way you do it is, let's say that someone was impending... passing in the next couple of days, they would send out an email to everyone and say, we have a vigil. And then you basically respond with your top three times that you can do.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't do it, you can't do it.
Okay.
And they seem very cool about that. And in fact, people take off entire seasons. Like, it's pretty challenging.
It's voluntary.
Yeah. But and then they just set a schedule. And,
yeah,
and so you take 2 hour shifts and they have a big box full of like candles and spiritual books and you just kind of feel it out. You know, most people are non-responsive by the time you're sitting vigil with them,
sure.
but you still act as if they can hear everything you say and, you know, they can feel your touch and
oh, yeah.
Yeah, that kind of stuff.
That's very cool.
Yeah. We'll see. I mean, it is very cool.
It's cool they have, that it exists.
Yeah. It's cool that it exists. Yeah. I mean, I had no idea, and I would have said that's not possible.
Either. No.
Yeah. And then they have lots of other, for anyone else out there who is interested, you can become a part of the Noda team at Bethesda, or you can do many other things. Like, I'm also going to do what's called Care and Comfort, where they assign you a couple of people in hospice who are not impending death, who just need visitors, mm-hmm. and you just are responsible for visiting them once a week or something.
That's really nice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. People did that. I didn't know what was happening because I would get texts from unknown numbers. Like, hey, this is Gladys, and I just spent some time with your mom, and she's doing this today, and X, Y, Z. And
And
I didn't quite put it together.
Yeah.
Those were hospice volunteers, like what I'm going to do. So.
That's great.
Yeah. Looking forward to it. 133 DGS on KMOX. We have a treat for you guys.
Oh.
You know, we've been talking about the now infamous Rachel Craigslist Price is Right adult toy.
Yeah.
We pulled the sound for you.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, you want to hear it?
Yep.
All right, so everyone, this was probably 2 years ago?
Oh, no. We were on 97.1. This has been a while.
Yeah,
oh,
wow. This was 4 or 5 years ago.
Okay, so in our younger years. And this is Rach doing Craigslist Price is Right, and she didn't do all of her vetting and fact-checking on this one particular item that ended up being inappropriate. All right, Rach, take it away. Craigslist Price is Right.
This is an adult half doll.
What?
In new condition.
It's a half a person?
It's an adult toy. It's a torso. Silicone. Wow. Very soft.
Wait, an adult toy?
A torso.
It's an adult toy. Weighs around 15 pounds.
15 pounds.
I'm just now realizing.
Oh my God, Rachel. Oh my God. It's a sex doll. What do you mean you're just now realizing it has a vagina?
I didn't read the whole listing.
You didn't know what that was?
I thought it was very similar, and I thought it would be funny. And now I'm reading the whole entry, which I can't even read on
the
show.
Rachel just showed us the torso of a naked, fully anthropomorphic sex doll.
I was like, wow, this is really similar to a sex doll. This will be a hoot. And now I'm like, no, that's what that is, though.
Did you see the picture?
I saw the belly. I didn't see that.
Rachel! You could do a pap smear on this thing.
Oh, my God. You know what? In her defense, here's how she read it. She thought it's an adult toy as opposed to a child toy.
No, she just said she didn't read it.
Oh, okay.
Well, because one time we had the teenage mannequin, so I thought it was like that. Like, this is an adult. But now I'm getting that it's an adult.
She goes, it's an adult toy. And I go, you mean an adult toy? And I could see it. Yeah. I could see it. She's like, OF. And then she looked at it, and she saw the cookie, and she's like, hell.
Dave Murray's calling us.
That kind of adult. Okay.
Well, we got a bid, don't we?
Yeah, what are you paying
for Dave
that?
Murray's calling a bid. Dave's like, you had me at labia.
$120.
Dave?
I'm sorry. I. $100 even.
Okay.
$150.
Tony? On the nose.
No way.
Yes. I'm not sure you should be proud of that. Yeah.
Oh, Rachel.
Yeah.
Pretty great.
That's right. You always need to do your prep before the show. You need to pay attention.
Learn from this, kids.
One of my favorite DGS moments ever.
You can hear me realizing in my voice, I'm like, it's an adult toy. An adult toy.
Dave goes, it's an adult toy? And you go, it's an adult toy. And then you started reading the listing and you go, oh, wait. And so the moment that we all freak out there is the moment that she flipped the picture around and showed up.
Yeah, I don't know why. Like, I had, like, blindness to whatever was going on in that
photo. It was a fully accurate torso and some of the bottom half.
Well, what did you... What did? But I kind of
of get adult toy, but then why did that go like, yeah, that makes sense?
Because from what I remember, as I explained in the clip, we had had like a teenage mannequin for sale one time. And I was like, oh, okay, this is just like
it's a grown up mannequin.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. I thought I was going down that train of thought.
And,
yeah.
and it was like 1 week before that we had had a lot of fun because the listing was teenage mannequin. It was like a teen clothing store, like a mannequin from that. But the listing was called Teenage Mannequin, which is very funny.
Very funny. Yeah. No, that's fair. In Rachel's defense, there are some really weird full-size things on Facebook. And there was one, and it was like fully clothed, like full-sized Amish mannequins or something. Like, I don't know if it was from...
Made by them or... fashioned to look like them.
What makes the mannequin Amish?
Did it come with one of those fireplaces?
I think it must
This mannequin have... doesn't use the television.
Yes. This mannequin doesn't use electricity. No, I think it must have been from some, like, museum or history thing because they were, like, dressed. It's like, these are authentic German Amish mannequins. I don't know what you would do with them. But
what
the
makes
listing...
them German?
I think it's Amish. Where they came from. Yeah. The Amish are German.
Yeah, you can find some weird stuff on the internet.
Sure can.
That's awesome. I think the best part of that clip is the genuine... Like, I have never been able to hear or see someone's face so clearly did when, as Rachel was saying. Yeah. Adult...
As the
toy.
Realization dawned upon me.
Yeah, we all felt that realization. That was awesome.
And what a room to do that in.
Yeah.
With me and Tony Colombo and Andrew and Sue just laughed.
Yeah.
She was dying.
That was awesome.
Yep.
Rachel, that's so adorable.
That happened.
So adorable and innocent.
Maybe you thought it was like a Little House on the Prairie doll that you could dress
up. Like, but an adult, you know?
Yeah, maybe she did.
Yeah, don't put this thing in kids' clothes. It's an adult toy. Don't get creepy.
I thought it was Laura Ingalls Wilder that you could dress up.
Can't you see it's 15 pounds?
Could have been anyone you wanted to.
I guess so.
You saw the photo ahead of time, though, right?
Right, yes. And like I said, I saw nothing. It's like in Westworld where they're like, that doesn't look like anything to me. Like, it just went straight over my head. Like,
silicone 15-pound torso to me.
Like, all righty. This will be good for Craigslist Prices, right? And it was.
15 pounds seems light for a torso. I don't know what a torso is.
You got to carry that thing around. Not going to move itself.
Yeah, it ain't my torso, that's for sure.
I like how she was selling it before she realized where she's like 15 inches tall, 15 pounds, very soft.
Very soft. I do say very soft.
Very soft.
It's got a real skin-like feel to it.
This is highly touchable.
You might say supple.
Oh. Yikes.
Did it have nipples?
No, Chris. It was cut off at the rib cage.
Yeah, it was cut off like
so
right
you
here.
Could see why I like didn't immediately
then
make
you
the connection.
Why'd you call it a torso?
Because it was a tummy.
Yeah, it's like the tummy, and then like I said, some of the bottom half was on there.
That's really
a
couple
was a
of parts.
Midsection.
What a weird thing to want to own.
It is a weird thing to want to own,
especially used.
Yes,
and
well,
we should point out I remember some of the actual listing, and the actual listing was so graphic.
Okay.
Like as Rachel said, she started reading down the listing and she's like, I can't even read this on the air.
It makes me uncomfortable being a human just to think that a transaction was made on that thing. That two people met at one of their houses or QT and someone handed over $150 cash and you handed over a duffel bag full of torso.
Yeah, he said, I don't need this torso anymore. And somebody else said, I'll take that torso off your hands.
One day I was on a walk and I was walking through an alley and I, out of the corner of my eye, I thought I saw a dead body and I jumped like 2 feet in the air and I looked at it and it was one of these dolls, but it had nothing on and it was just like someone had thrown it out and I guess they didn't know like the proper way to dispose of it. Didn't
like
think,
disposing of a flag.
Right. I mean, the dumpster was right there, but they just set it next to the dumpster. I have a picture on my phone. I'll show you guys on the break.
I how much did you get for it on Craigslist?
Well, I know this. If I had one of those and I was looking to throw it away, I would absolutely make sure there's room in the dumpster.
Right.
I would be taking things out of the dumpster to make sure this was in it.
You wouldn't wait for like the Ellisville sex doll take back day?
Yeah.
Was it?
I would recycle it.
Was it like a blow up thing?
No, it was like, it looked
like
expensive.
Full on.
Yeah.
Looked expensive.
It looked real. I thought it was a real body.
It was high quality.
Yeah. Right. It's no cheapo over here.
Well, that feels like a crime.
That must have freaked you out.
It was so scary because I thought it was a dead body at first. I'm like, ah! And then it was a sex doll. And I'm like, okay, well, that's less bad, but still pretty creepy.
You got a real pattern going on here.
That's not a lot less scary.
Thinking a sex doll is something else.
Yeah. I mean, you know you got at least one more in your life coming, so.
Anyway.
Good job, Rachel.
Thanks. Yeah. Maybe we'll do a return of Craigslist Price is Right. I'll vet it a little better for KMOX, though.
I don't know. It's kind of fun when you don't. 149 DGS on KMOX. Thanks for being with us. If you're listening to 1120, you can listen to 98.7 FM. Anywhere around the St. Louis area comes in much clearer than 1120. And if you want perfect sound, you can download the Odyssey app. It's easy enough that I did it, and I listen to TIAM every morning. Just go to odyssey.com, download it, like the KMOX, and you can also podcast, which... The podcast numbers came out again, and they're just crazy, so thanks again for that. That's really, really cool that you guys downloaded so much. Speaking of finding unexpected body parts, when we were doing the Halloween show back in the early 2000s at the Limp Mansion, and we were going to do it in the caverns, and it's changed hands many times. I'm not sure who owns the caverns now. But back then, no one had been in the caverns in a really long time. So it was really cool that we got to do the show down there. So before we did the actual show, we did a walkthrough because it's no pun, cavernous. I mean, it's just gigantic. And we just had flashlights. And so it's pitch black. All you can see is what's right in front of you. And evidently, the Brown Shoe Company had rented space there. And we turned a corner. And the only way I can describe it is there were two or three. In my memory, they were the size of like a shipping container. But they were clear. And they were full of wooden feet.
Oh.
Oh.
And when I get really scared, everything below my waist goes numb.
Yeah.
Everything. And it was just like, I was like Don Knotts and the Ghost of Mr. Chicken. I was just flailing and numb. And then the member of the family who was with us, she's like, oh, I should have warned you about the feet.
Oh, jeez.
I knew I was forgetting something.
I wonder how much that's going for on Facebook Marketplace. Yeah.
All those feet?
There had to be thousands of them.
Oh, what were they for?
Yeah. What's that?
What were they for?
I think they were for showing shoes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense.
In my memory, they had toes.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's a thing.
They might have.
Yeah, maybe.
No, their little toenails were painted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's worth how it felt.
Worth a lot more if they got toes.
You think they're still there?
I don't know. They've been through so many changes there. I tell you, one of the most scared I've ever been is when we did the show down there and we had full access to the caverns and we would, you know, bring in listeners and put them through their paces. And this was the most complicated show we'd ever done. We overdid the show. It wasn't one of my better Halloween shows because we overdid it. But at the very end of the night, it was like 3 a.m. and we had our own people stationed around in case people got lost or they fell or, you know, whatever it is. And my boss, Jeff Allen, goes, hey, why don't you go downstairs and gather everyone up? And I'm like, yeah, why don't I do that? And so I had to go down this rickety staircase, like 5 stories down by myself, and then find these people in the dark. That was bad.
Oh.
That was really bad.
Ugh.
Yeah.
I don't do that.
It's the kind of thing I'd make Andrew do these days. Back then, I didn't know I had that kind of power.
But the listeners were down there in the dark by themselves.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Well, they're listeners.
So I'm trying to...
They signed up for it.
Is that a swimming pool one?
Yeah.
What was that? Okay.
Yeah, there's a swimming pool down there, and there's a theater, and it's really cool.
There's a theater?
Yeah. There's a place... if you go to the Lint Mansion, which you should, because it's an amazing place, in the basement, there's a big, sort of like the Blues insignia in the Blues clubhouse, about that size of Lint Brewery, and it opens up. And there's a tunnel that goes from the house to the caverns, and that's how the Limps used to go to work. They would just open that up and walk the tunnel into the caverns. It's neat.
Okay. Why wouldn't you just walk?
Don't know.
They were spooky.
Like, yeah. Maybe they like the, okay. Maybe they like the spookiness of it.
We should build a tunnel. Like, it just, it's right there. I mean, just go out the front door.
And it's like, that's how you go to your mailbox.
Right. And I dug a tunnel.
Yeah.
Right. To get to the garage, you climb all the way up to the top. And there's a rope.
Anyone remember a time in life when you were really scared in a spooky way?
Definitely yes, but I can't.
Yeah, I'm sure of it. I just can't off the top of my head.
I mean, I've been scared during our Halloween shows.
Mm-hmm.
When we were at Jefferson Barracks and I was in that little museum by myself.
Yeah.
And I was walking around and they had all those mannequins and I kept catching them out of the corner of my eye.
See, there you go, mannequins.
They come to haunt me. But yeah, that was super spooky.
Yeah, I would not have done that one. I was very glad.
That one was rough.
I was very glad that she got asked to do that.
Being in the Exorcist bedroom by myself was probably the pinnacle.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Wait, where is that again?
Belnor, like right across from Munzel.
Okay.
This is, I don't know if it's not spooky like the Exorcist house, but it's spooky in the same way that when you're the last one in the basement, for some reason, pulling the string to turn the light off and running upstairs.
Because the butt demon.
You feel, I mean, you feel like someone's grabbing you.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they are.
Obviously. So the closest would be, I don't know, I went for an early morning run with a friend, and I don't know if we misjudged sunrise or whatever, but there's this run along, like in the woods, but along the river. And I'm like, well, the sun will be up. And we just misjudged. And we were running. And I will say, like, the deeper we got into the woods, there's something about being like in pitch black and you're in by the river in the woods. And I felt like every tree was somebody or every rustle was somebody. Like, I started to feel the basement feeling, but I couldn't outrun it.
Yeah.
That was gross.
Yeah, that's bad.
I didn't like that feeling.
That's bad.
And now that I think about it, when I was a freshman in college, there was a kid on my floor in the dorm who freaked out, and he said that he saw some sort of something in his room with red eyes, and it became this whole ordeal, and somebody called, I think it was a priest, and it was like an off-duty priest, and the priest showed up and like calmed him down. It was the strangest thing. I think it was drugs.
But
at the time, I hope so. I think he was on drugs because, like, he flipped out, and everybody was scared. Like, what the hell was this?
The show at the Exorcist house, we brought in a priest who's no longer a priest, but he was a priest back then, priest and a rabbi priest, and he gave a prayer, and we're all holding hands, and it was the worst prayer I've ever heard. You know, like, God bless my baloney. It made no sense. Yeah. And then he just stopped, and he goes, I have to get out of here. And he walked out. And I'll never forget, he was walking down the sidewalk, and we're good friends. I mean, he was on the show for years. And he's walking down the sidewalk away from us, and I say, you can't get possessed if you're a Christian, right? And he doesn't even look back. He waves his hand. He goes, oh, sure you can. And that's how the show started. Like, well, we just lost our priest.
Nope. The guy's like, nope, I'm out. I gotta go.
Defend for yourselves.
We're priestless.